Welcome to the CMR Podcast, a podcast by the Center for Migration Law.
Migration is a phenomenon of all times and always a topical issue. In this podcast, we discuss migration in the broad sense. Migration law determines who can access the territory of a country, which rights migrants have, integration, as well as equal treatment and citizenship. Migration law and policymaking takes place at the international, European, regional, national, and sometimes even local level. Our research aims to contribute to science-based policymaking from this multi-level, holistic perspective. Researchers of the Dutch Center for Migration Law of the Radboud University in Nijmegen have been investigating migration law from an interdisciplinary angle for a good 3 decades. In this podcast, we provide behind-the-scenes insights of our research projects and the involvement of researchers in policymaking. One of our current projects is the Horizon Europe-funded project Global Strategy for Skills, Migration, and Development, in short, GS4S. In this project, 14 partners from 10 countries seek to better understand global skills shortages in the digital, care, and construction sectors, and to foster skills development through innovative analyses. The project proposes multi-level, evidence-based policies on labor migration governance and alternative ways to address these shortages in 6 regions: the EU, the EEA, Western Balkan, Middle East, and North Africa, West Africa, and South and Southeast Asia. In a sub-series of 6 podcasts, we will present some of the results of this project. More information on the project is in the show notes. Hi everyone, my name is Colleen Boland. I'm a postdoc researcher at the Center for Migration Law, and today I'm being joined by my colleague, Ksenia Ivanovich, junior researcher at the Department of Geography, Spatial Planning, and Environment of the Radboud University. Together, we are part of the research and coordination team of the GS4S project.
Hi Colleen, great to be involved.
Today, our guest is online from Vienna, Austria. Hi, Madi Gosi.
Hi, Colin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Madi Gosi is an economist at Vienna Institute for International Economic Studies, one of partner organizations of GS4S. Madi's got extensive experience in applied econometrics, macroeconomic modeling, and data science. He particularly focuses on global markets, trade policy, trade regulations, financial and labor market analyses, migration policy, economics of sanctions, and Iran's economy. He holds a PhD in economics from Università, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Madi, Cattolica del Sacro Cuore, Sede di Milano, and a second PhD, in international economics from the Faculty of Economic Sciences, University of Warsaw. So Madi, could you briefly tell us about your work on the projects?
So the project became interesting to me, or let's say more interesting to me when we had its inception, and then the ideas were being brainstormed. And because I'm a migrant myself, I was interested in such research and such analysis to understand why people migrate and what are the factors behind their decision, and even after that, what are the consequences for economies if people migrate from one country to another?
Thanks, Madi. I should mention I'm also a fellow migrant, and it kind of explains my interest on these topics.
Yeah, same.
So I guess what we wanted to get into today was the working paper that you and your team recently finished for the GS4S project. And just for our listeners to know, it's looking at the impact of labor shortages on migration aspirations and destination preferences among individuals from Albania, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Serbia. Sorry about that. We'd like to dig in a little deeper. The results indicate that labor shortages significantly influence migration decisions. Could you go a bit more into that? Why is understanding this so important?
Of course. As economists, we consider several factors of production, and labor is one of the most important factors of production historically. So people and humans, they work in order to produce something, and in order for economies to survive, people need to be employed. And sometimes for some specific tasks or occupations, or even within specific sectors in some economies, we encounter shortages. By shortages, we mean that the people who are supplying their labor, or the people who want to work to pay their own rents and buy their own goods and services, the people who are specifically skilled for certain tasks and occupations are in shortage, meaning that some people in some countries, in some sectors, let's make an example, for instance, for manual hard work, or let's say for assembly lines, there could be a specific skills. People need to have specific skills to work on assembly lines in order to produce some goods. So if we have lots of production in one sector and investment increases, then we lack people to work in those specific sectors. So labor shortages is one of the most critical problems that we face in the European Union and also in many other Western economies, and also in many other non-advanced economies like those countries in the Western Balkan or any other neighbor countries in the immediate proximity of the European Union. So we wanted to see how this labor shortage plays out and how does it affect people's desire to migrate from non-advanced economies like Western Balkan economies to advanced, or let's say to more advanced economies like the European Union.
Thanks, Mari. I kind of really appreciate now that you're speaking kind of in layman's terms for us, because I had a couple questions about your paper, not being an economist myself. But before I go into that, I wanted to check with you first if there was like something that particularly stood out to you as interesting from your findings from this working paper.
Of course, the paper became interesting because the results were somehow straightforward for us, meaning that we wanted to tackle the issue by showing the relationship between labor shortages in both the home of a migrant and the host of a migrant, but we didn't have data. So we were using some data from some surveys that were undertaken by the Austrian National Bank in 2019, and they were asking more than 10,000 individuals in Southeast Europe, including Western Balkans. So we selected three Western Balkan economies because we finally managed to match different databases to answer our question. I can explain later, but the most important or let's say most interesting result for us was that whenever a migrant or a person who is working in Western Balkan, meaning, for instance, Serbia, if there is a labor shortage for his or her occupation, the individual rather stays in the country. So if there is no labor shortage in the country in that occupation, the person would prefer to migrate to another country, and European Union could be one of the targets. Then we also saw in our results that if the labor shortage in the potential desired destination for that individual goes up, that individual is more willing to go to that country. So, for instance, if the target country is Austria or Germany, and if for a certain occupation like, I don't know, like management or even for certain technician jobs, if there is a shortage in one of these countries, then the person in Western Balkan or Serbia would prefer to go to these countries where his or her occupation is in shortage.
Okay, that's really neat that you got such kind of straightforward insights, especially from such a large and rich data set. I kind of wanted to dig in a bit into how you come up with these insights from the point of view of somebody who's not an economist. I was trying to go through the modeling that you describe in the paper, but I was wondering to what extent can we trust this type of modeling? Could you explain a little bit how it works as non-technically as possible for those of us who aren't experts in this type of science?
Sure, Colleen. I will try my best to be less technical.
To translate.
Or least technical as possible, yeah.
Thank you.
Economics is a science, so it has been science for centuries, and different phenomena in societies have been studied by economists. So we consider it a science still. So that's why it's going to be a bit difficult to explain something scientific in simple terms, but I will try my best. So this phenomenon that we wanted to tackle, for this specific phenomenon, which means the relationship between labor shortages and the desire to migrate, there's no good or, let's say, sufficient databases so that we can easily track what is in the people's mind and what is the labor conditions under which these people are working. So when we were thinking about ideas and how to collect databases that we could let's say, do a more detailed research, we found few databases that we could work on. On the one hand, there was the data that I already mentioned that was compiled by the Austrian National Bank. And that was a very detailed survey that I recommend working with it. Initially, that survey was not produced for the purpose of migration, but it had some migration questions in it, and one of my former colleagues, Isil Damara, was found this data, and actually she was the one who proposed the idea in the very beginning. So we managed to find one data that had the desire of migrants in the Western Balkans and let's say in neighboring countries.
Good find.
But then, but then we wanted to find some additional databases that could tell us what are the shortages, in which countries do we have shortages, in which occupation and sectors. So we managed to find some, again, some surveys that were done by the World Bank, which is called STEP. And that specific survey was asking actually firms in Western Balkans rather than individuals who were working in the Western Balkans. So by asking companies in the Western Balkan, the World Bank was asking whether companies that are recruiting people for their jobs, if they are facing any shortages or bottlenecks. So there were few indicators that we were using from that survey, and it was showing us how much in terms of portion of the firms in that country are experiencing shortages in recruiting, let's say, experienced labor or skilled labor, or in general, number of people to be employed. So that was another set of data that we managed to find after several rounds of meeting that we had during the course of project.
Oh, wow.
Then we had also another, we needed also another data that would be for the destination of migrants, or the, let's say the potential destination for those individuals. And because the potential destination was EU member states, we needed another database that was showing, again, shortages in occupations. Again, it was tricky because we couldn't find any data that had purely the indicator on labor shortages per occupation, but we did some mathematical tricks in our model in order to find out how much in each occupation, in each EU member, we face shortages.
Economics magic.
Then the rest of it was lots of data work that one of my colleagues was working a lot on. This Alireza Sabuniha, he was compiling all different measures from these three data sets, then he put them in econometrics. They had different econometrics techniques. I think it's not it's not wise to explain those econometrics.
But
we managed to compile a large data set that could help us in analyzing the phenomenon.
Great, thanks. That was really actually a very boiled down version for listeners like me. I also want to take advantage, actually, of having Ksenia here, because she has the perspective of coming from Montenegro, a country in the Western Balkans, and also was a co-author on the paper. So maybe I'll switch.
Exactly, and her role in this project and also on this paper is very prominent. I was on vacation. People were on vacation, so it was a few different rounds that people were on vacation. But Ksenia was there to support us and support all other people who were on vacation.
Yeah, so for that exact reason, it would be really great to hear your key takeaways.
Well, I have so many. I think that having studied economics and then having the opportunity to work with Magdi and the rest of the team on the paper was really amazing, because usually you study about different indicators, but you rarely have this sort of exercise where you try to come up with new indicators. And I think this is something that was very novel about the paper, because, you know, economists like to use terms such as like structural problems and challenges to talk about what's happening, for example, in the labor market in Serbia. Mm-hmm. And skill shortages are definitely one of them, like a persistent issue. But there is little data to study this. And really, that was the first step. So I enjoyed the process of sort of witnessing how new indicators are being developed, and I hope it will be useful. And I guess one other reflection that I have is perhaps a broader one, mm-hmm, about migration aspirations, because of course we have a model and we try to contribute to the literature with our research, but it's a very complex decision. And we did a literature review, of course, for the paper, and I enjoyed reading about how different disciplines study this. Mm-hmm. So I hope that, you know, in the future more research will be done about intangible factors behind migration aspirations, like whether you are risk averse or, you know, do you migrate because you want adventure, these types of things.
Yeah, I think we're actually already, I know from research on the project myself, we're already kind of looking into that from different disciplines, including psychology. Like you say, it's a complex mix of factors. But the nice thing, as we keep repeating, we want this, evidence-based volume of data. The nice thing is that you have this like really rich data point from this working paper, and hopefully we can combine it with those other insights. Along those lines, there were also some kind of policy implications from this working paper, and also was developed into an entire policy brief, again, with my two co-podcasters as authors. So we have a few more minutes, and I just wanted to ask you both for your reflections on the policy implications of this working paper. I don't know, Madi, if there was any particular one that spoke to you.
Sure, definitely. So the issue is that whenever there is a labor shortage, for instance, in Serbia, in certain occupation, then it means that if you want to make investment there, it would be difficult to find and recruit people because there is labor shortage. And because there is labor shortage, there is no better environment for economy to grow in that specific sector or occupation. So it's a very challenging issue for policymakers to tackle. But we try to give some ideas, some hints on what could be done in terms of economics, in terms of legal frameworks, in terms of quality of data. So one of the things, maybe I mention it myself, and then maybe Ksenia can mention another aspect. One of the aspects that I was trying to introduce was we need some more development in the Western Balkans for people to prosper, for people to enjoy higher wages, because wages and incomes are one of the most important pulling factors that push factors that push people from the Western Balkans to other countries. So think about it. Think about a situation in which economic conditions in the Western Balkans improve and people earn higher wages so that they can remain in their countries. But as I said, there's a problem of labor shortages. So in order to reduce the problem of labor shortages, we can have a kind of talent program in Western Balkans that could attract even migrants from other countries for those specific sectors and occupations that are encountering severe shortages, so that the investment could also help improve those conditions. So not only we need to improve investment and improve the business environments and regulations and policies and institutions in Western Balkans, but also we need to facilitate movement of people from EU to the Western Balkans and from many other countries to the Western Balkans, so that we can tackle labor shortages in a better way. So that was one economic policy implication, but maybe Ksenia could talk about others.
Go for it, Ksenia. Oh, sure. I was going to say, like, from your perspective, I think we focused a lot on the EU policy implications and some aspects of the project, but then, like, we should also bring in a non-Eurocentric perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely many. I think thinking about policy implications was quite challenging because there are so many public policy areas that are interconnected, and it's very difficult to capture that in one policy brief. So some of the other things that we noticed, and this is really sort of resulting from our previous research, is of course the need to improve data availability. I think some of the numbers are often like taken for granted as existent, but in fact we don't know how many people emigrated from the Western Balkans. Like, estimates exist, but they're so different. For example, recently there is evidence that there are increased levels of circular migration, which is very, very interesting, but we don't know how many people are circular migrants, so to say. So there is a lot of like space for improvement. And another area that we focused on is sort of the problem of mismatch between skills you get in the education system in the Western Balkans. Like, of course, differs per country, but overall, and then the needs of the labor market. So there again, this is not new. Like, there are policy briefs and reports that we're talking about this for years already, but we haven't seen like substantial change in that. So this is something that we focused on, and I think I would conclude by saying that even though, I mean, we try to develop implications or recommendations for both the EU policymakers and policymakers in the Western Balkans. And this is important because there is a lot of room for cooperation. But then just because, you know, Western Balkan countries are on the path to EU membership, hopefully, just because that's the case doesn't mean that they shouldn't have their own sort of strategic approach to development.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, and particularly the data availability, accessibility, that's something I think that resonates with anybody who's really been involved in migration scholarship or research. And closing off on that point, I think, Mati, like, future research, more data, do you have any new directions you're going in after
this?
Yeah,
so data is very crucial. If there is more data and more information for public, let's say, then there will be more research, there will be more studies to advise policy implications for policymakers, and situations could be improved rather than exacerbated. So on what we could do next, actually, in the course of project, we have another ongoing research, which is utilizing actually Austrian data. We have a very good microeconomic, firm level, individual level database that was recently, or let's say in the past 2 years, was legally provided by the Statistics Austria to researchers to study different phenomena. So in this research that is also part of GS4S project, we are trying to understand if automation, by automation I mean use of industrial robots or use of different kinds of machineries that facilitate automation, if such kinds of automation could be substitutes or complements for migrants. Because migrants, in previous research, we show that migrants generally are more resilient in the European labor market, meaning that if there is any fear of automation for some specific occupations or sectors, migrants are usually more resilient. The reason is not that migrants are more educated or not. The reason was that there was a selection procedure for migrants to be employed for such sectors to be more resilient. So these are the things that we would like to do more research on so that we can give better insights to the public.
Thanks, Mahdi. I'm super excited for the three of us to keep working together on this project. And thanks so much, Ksenia, for being co-host, but also chipping in on the interview part. Just so you know, in the audience, there's more information on this work from both of these authors that can be found in the show notes. And yeah, just to close out, I think it's also worth mentioning what we'll be discussing on our next episode. This will also be a GS4S working paper that recently came out, and we'll be discussing this with Professor Tommaso Frattini. Thanks again, Mahdi, for joining us. It's been a great
Thank you. Thank you, Colleen. Thank you, Ksenia. I hope we will see you.